Now, when somebody says Mexican food, you might think of the standard tacos, burritos, enchiladas, and tamales. And those are indeed Mexican fare, but they don't completely represent the full variety of Mexican cuisine. In this week's edition of Food Friday, our guest is going to take us on a tour. Patty Heenich is host of the public TV series Patty's Mexican Table. She's spent the last decade seeking out culinary gems of her home country, some pretty well known, others local specialties passed down through the generations. Then she figured out how to prepare the best version of those recipes to make them accessible for people outside of Mexico. You can see the results in her brand new book, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite Mexican dish? Do you have one that's been in your own family maybe for a really long time? If you've experienced regional cuisines of Mexico, either by growing up there or touring there, what were some of your favorite finds? And you need some advice from Patty. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Patty Heenich joins us now. Her new book is Treasures of the Mexican Table, Classic Recipes, Local Secrets, scheduled to come out on November 23rd. Patty, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me on, Rob. A treat.
This a treat for us too, Patty. Now, this book has been a literal journey. Can you talk about your travels around Mexico and what you were looking for this book?
Absolutely. So, yeah, many, many years in the making. So, I come from Mexico City, and I lived there all my life until I married my husband, moved to Texas, switched careers, you know, after I had my two kids and went from political analysis to cooking. And ever since then, I've just made my life's mission to share everything and anything from Mexico, culture, food, ingredients, stories. And in this book, which is my most ambitious so far, I just went to find, you know, everybody now knows guacamole, and so many things are in the American culinary lingo, like taco and taco Tuesday and taco night, and everybody seems to know birria these days. But in this book, I bring 150 classic recipes that are heirlooms, that have been passed on through generations, that are treasured, and they may be from a little town or micro region or macro region, but most of these have not crossed the border. And I'm here to tell you, you love Mexican food already? Well, here's more. And this is going to enrich your weekly menus and your table and your family life, and I hope people love it as much as I do.
So, Patty, I grew up in a small Midwestern town. I got to say, well into my life, I had a pretty narrow view of what Mexican food was. And it's very slowly dawned on me. Mexico's really big. And it has a lot of variety. Can you tell us just how much variety there is within Mexico?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm still in awe, Rob, to be honest. And the more I know and the more I travel and the more I go back, I'm continuously treading, you know, back and forth. And you think you know a place, I think I know a state, I think I know a region, and I go back to try those classics. And I come back and find those classics, and there's many more. There's new dishes, new ways to use ingredients, and people are also really going back and trying to recover or bring to the surface pre-Hispanic dishes and takes. And between the combination of regions, historical eras, and the creativity of Mexican cooks, there never seems to be enough new things to try. So I, you know, here you can find food from all of the country, and each dish has a story tied to it. And I really work so hard to bring these recipes to your kitchen in a way that they're accessible, doable, repurposable, and mostly that they will bring you something that you can try and you're going to say, I want to make this again. And for the people who try them, I'm hoping they're going to say, we want that recipe. And that when you share it, you're also going to be able to share stories.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Patty Heenich about her new book out just in a week or so, Treasures of the Mexican Table, Classic Recipes, Local Secrets. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question for Patty or you want to share your favorite Mexican meal you've ever had, whether you grew up with it or whether you've encountered it as a tourist somewhere in Mexico, love to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Let's talk about ingredients a little bit, Patty. One thing I loved in your book is you made it so that it's stuff mostly we could find in our local grocery store. And I want to start with tomatoes. I thought, oh, what kind of tomato is Patty going to point me toward? Roma tomatoes, which you could find pretty often, especially good ones in the summer. Why are Roma tomatoes one of your first choices if you're making a salsa?
Well, Roma tomatoes are just so juicy and fleshy and have a wonderful consistency for salsas and stews and soups. They're rich. I mean, I always advise people, when you bring tomatoes into your home, if they're not super fully ripe, like bursting, you know, leave them in your kitchen counter and let them continue to ripen. And if you can't find Roma tomatoes, which I think are really the best for like saucy, messy food, which is like what I like, any tomatoes that you find at the store, just let them ripen. I'd rather you use a very ripe tomato that's not a Roma than a green unripe Roma. And if you can't find fresh tomatoes that you're loving, you know, say in the middle of winter, you can use a can of crushed tomatoes. And there's many recipes in my cookbook that call for fire roasted or charred or broiled or roasted tomatoes. And you can now find cans of fire roasted tomatoes. So it's all much more accessible and easy than when I first moved to the US, Rob. I mean, I swear 20 years ago, you were lucky if you found a fresh jalapeno. And I'm talking even in Dallas, Texas. These days, I guess it has to do not only with the demand of, you know, the American audience. People are so much familiar with Mexican food and ingredients that people don't only want to go out and eat tacos, but people want to make Mexican food at home. So that demand has helped, you know, increase the availability. And you can really find almost anything, if not in stores, online.
Let's check out, Patty, one of the recipes you shared with us. It's at WPR.org/Food Friday. This one, I could see it going on a Thanksgiving side dish sort of table here. Green beans in corn sauce with pumpkin seeds. First of all, tell us where this recipe is coming from in Mexico.
Yes, that is one of my favorite recipes in the entire book, Rob. I'm so happy you chose that. And if you see the photo of that recipe, you see the stunning green beans, the chunky red tomato sauce on top, and the crushed pepitas. And you would think that a new modern chef came up with this vegan, you know, really regal dish. And this is a recipe that has existed in the Yucatan Peninsula in the state of Campeche for centuries. People have been making it in Mexico since pre-Hispanic times. And this is the beauty about classic recipes, that they stand the test of time. Of course, let me describe this recipe to you. It's green beans that you quickly sear. And after they started to brown, you pour over them a sauce that you make by pureeing fresh corn. If you don't find fresh corn, you can use thawed from frozen. You puree the corn with a little bit of fresh cilantro or epazote if you find it. And then you cook the beans in that corn sauce. And they've begun to crisp. And then they start cooking in this sweet corn sauce that becomes velvety and so creamy. And it starts to stick on the green beans. And then you take them out of the pan. And this is really less than 10 minutes. And then you top that with a chunky tomato salsa that you make in a snap. And you garnish that with ground or chopped toasted pumpkin seeds. The combination of flavors is just insane, because you have the green beans, you have that really velvety sweet corn sauce, you have the tart and almost sweet tomato sauce, and then the salty and nutty pumpkin seeds. And it is such a delight. It can be a side. It can be a main. People who are vegetarians or vegans are going to feel like you really spoiled them by giving them something so delicious and not just a boring side of, you know, just bland green beans. And this is a recipe that, of course, it's adapted in my cookbook so that you can make it in your kitchen. But this is a recipe that used to be made by having the ingredients in a pot and throwing in a rock that was heated until it was really just burning hot. And it was thrown in the pot, and that's how the ingredients used to cook. And these were talking about pre-Hispanic times. But this recipe has evolved and it's been maintained and it's been passed on through the centuries. And I feel so, you know, so much pride to be able to pass on these recipes so that other people outside of Mexico or Mexicans who aren't from the Yucatan Peninsula can get to know it. And it's, you know, the part of cooking that it's so beautiful because it's communal. You know, these recipes are here before we get here. And these recipes will remain after we leave. So it's just an honor to be able to pass these on.
You can find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Matt is with us in Green Bay. Matt, hi.
Hi, how you doing? Patty, I love your show, and I love how it's evolved over the years. My question is, I'm from La Frontera, in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which is like a green chili capital of the United States. And when I learned how to make chile rellenos there, they were crispy and stuffed with cheese, and you would just serve them crispy and eat them with a fork. But since I've moved to Green Bay, we have a lot of people who make chile rellenos from poblanos, and they fry them up, but then they just drown them in tomato sauce. What is it like the chile rellenos? Why is it always drowned down in Central Mexico?
Is that a different regional approach, Patty?
Yeah, and that is such a great question. And in fact, in my new cookbook, Treasures of the Mexican Table, I have a few variations of the chile relleno. And I love that you're asking this question, Matt, because there's a universe of chile rellenos. So the chile rellenos that you're talking about, it's the most popular version. The poblano chiles that are large, chubby, can be super stuffed, and they're typically fire roasted, sweated, and peeled, just like the roasted pimientos, you know, that you use in Italian cooking. So the same thing, the same process is done to poblano chiles. And then the chiles are stuffed either with melted cheese or with picadillo, which is a combination of ground meat cooked in tomato sauce and olives and raisins and almonds, or beans. And then that chile goes drowned in a rich tomato sauce. It can either go directly like that, or most traditionally, that chile that's stuffed goes battered in an egg batter, then fried, which is what you're talking about, and then dressed in that sauce. And I think that is one of the most beloved and the most well-known of Mexican chile rellenos from Central Mexico and Puebla and regions that have a lot of Mexicans that have moved to the U.S. So I guess that's why it's becoming so popular now. But there are many other chile rellenos. I have a chile relleno in the cookbook that is actually a cold chile relleno, and it's a cold and pickled chile relleno. Wow. And it is a delight. And I have been wanting to make this since my first cookbook. And Rox Martin, who I'm so lucky to have had as an editor for all of my cookbooks, kept on telling me on Cookbook 1 and Cookbook 2, I don't think America is ready for this one. And this year, you know, this book, I'm like, we're ready. So imagine a Mexican-style Nisua salad stuffed in an exuberant fire-roasted poblano chile. This is what this is like. So you take the fire-roasted poblanos, which is, you know, it's a technique that's very simple to do. And then you make a marinade with oil and vinegar, and in that oil you cook onions and garlic and some spices. You marinate the chiles in that until they're slightly pickled, like the pickled jalapenos brine kind of. And you can make this ahead of time and put it in the fridge, and they will wait for you for weeks. And what I do is that when my husband comes home really late from work, which didn't happen throughout the pandemic because we've been locked in, but now that he's starting to go back to the office, and I'm like, no, don't go. But then when he comes back at, you know, very late hours of the day or the night, I just quickly make a tuna salad with Mexicans love mayo. I don't know if people know, but, you know, tuna, mayo, lime juice, a little bit of celery, a little bit of onion. And you take out those pickled chiles, you stuff that with tuna. And I can't begin to describe the flavor of that.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Patty Heenich about her new cookbook called Treasures of the Mexican Table, Classic Recipes, Local Secrets. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions or your favorite Mexican food experiences. You can also find recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our Food Friday conversation with Patty Heenich from Patty's Mexican Table on PBS. She's got a new book coming out, Treasures of the Mexican Table, Classic Recipes, Local Secrets. Still time for your calls or Facebook comments on the Ideas Network Facebook page, your experiences, favorites, questions for Patty at 800-642-1234. Patty, we heard from Paul on Facebook who shared a great experience. Didn't say where, though. Says a quesadilla in a market was amazing. Stretchy cheese, fresh epazote and squash blossoms, and the tortillas made right on the spot. You mentioned that epazote earlier, Patty. Can you talk about that as a spice? You can use it. There's fresh and more available here, I think, dried.
Yeah, absolutely. And the quesadilla that he's sharing, that Paul is sharing, is a typical quesadilla that you find throughout Mexico and increasingly in the U.S., which means you can find it, but not as much as Mexico, but at least you can find it and hopefully more and more. Epazote is a deeply Mexican herb. It is an herb that really defines us. It's very perfumed. It's very intense. It has a very deep, clean taste. It's the best way that I can describe it. You need to use it judiciously because it's that intense. And it's supposed to be a really good digestive, which is why many people cook their beans with epazote. And it's absolutely delicious with cheese in a quesadilla because it brings some kind of like fragrant aromatic. It's so hard to describe the taste, Rob, that you really have to try it. You can find the epazote herb increasingly in the U.S. And then if you learn to make your homemade corn tortillas, then you can be making those quesadillas anytime. Now, the blossom, the squash blossoms, which is so common in Mexico, it's much harder to find here. And in Mexico, it's much more accessible and price-wise, much more affordable. But I think we're going to get there.
I've used epazote, and I learned the hard way a little bit. It goes a long way with dried epazote, but I'll take your advice now and try it again.
Yeah, so epazote, yeah, you have to use it judiciously. So I would say if you're using the dried epazote, you need to use like 3 times the amount just because it's like very different in its fresh than its dried form. But it has a very unique taste. I love it.
Well, let's check out some dessert, Patty, because we're getting close to the end of our conversation. You've shared with us a classic creamy flan. That's definitely a dessert I think about when I think about Mexican food. Can you share a little bit of the story behind it?
Yes. And flan, I mean, there's so many different kinds of flan. I was just now at the border, you know, aside from Patty's Mexican Table, this year I launched a new docu-series on Primetime with PBS and Amazon Prime. That's all about the borderlands. It's called La Frontera with Patty Heenich. And I went from El Paso, Ciudad Juarez, to Brownsville. And it was incredible. You know, the quality of food is just so phenomenal. And people think that along the Texas-US-Mexico border, you only find Tex-Mex. But you find phenomenal Mexican, you find phenomenal Texan, and you find these regional cuisine, these Tex-Mex cuisine, that's so different in the different parts of the Texas-Mexico border. And you realize that Tex-Mex food is so different at every spot. It's very different in El Paso from the Rio Grande Valley. And I'm connecting it to these, Rob, because there were so many flans. And they were just absolutely extraordinary, from the round individual ones, which is like the creamy one I have in my new cookbook, which is like the flan that you crave for. It's the flan that you find in fondas. It's the flan that you find in, I would guarantee, any Mexican home. It's made with 4 or 5 ingredients, depending if you want to add more flavor or not. Like you can make it like I do here, or you can add some orange rind. But it's just very satisfying. It's satiating. It's after a Mexican meal, especially. It's creamy, it's mild, it's not incredibly sweet, and it's cold, so it's kind of refreshing and soothing.
And Patty, in just our last minute or so, can you leave us some inspiration for people to try cooking and try more variety of cooking inspired by Mexican food?
Yes, I just think that, when you're cooking something new and you're trying something new, it's just a way to open a window to learn so many stories and to enrich your home not only with a new food or dish, but really stories that can be shared and passed on. So I would recommend that when people hopefully get my cookbook, they find a dish or two that they want to try and begin with, and they'll realize that they're all approachable and easy. And I hope they will read the stories. And as they make the food, they will also share the stories.
Patty, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Patty Heenich is the host of the PBS series Patty's Mexican Table and the series she mentioned, La Frontera. Her newest book is called Treasures of the Mexican Table: Classic Recipes, Local Secrets. It comes out on November 23rd. What? You can't wait that long? Hey, good news. We've got a couple recipes from that book. You can get them right now at WPR.org/FoodFriday. Try out maybe this weekend or maybe for Thanksgiving. Green beans and corn sauce with pumpkin seeds looks great. The picture is awesome. If you're in the mood for some dessert, that classic creamy flan she was just talking about, give them a go. Let us know how they turned out over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. And you can share your Mexican food favorites. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Your best experience, maybe while traveling and eating Mexican food or growing up with Mexican food yourself. Share that on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Email ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR.